All right, Mr. Maynard, you were drafted by the Giants in 1957, spent that year in 58 with them, spent 1959 in Canada, and then you were brought to the Titans by Sammy Baugh. Can you talk about your relationship with Sammy Baugh and the process in which he brought you to the AFL?
Okay. I'm sorry, maybe I missed a question or something.
Oh, I was asking if you could talk about your relationship with Sammy Baugh and how he brought you to the AFL.
Well, he coached at Hardin-Simmons University, and I went to school at Texas Western, and so we played them home and home, you know, each year. And so he knew of me from college, and so when it come to go to the pros, he was coach of the Titans, and I was the first guy that he picked to come play.
What was your comfort level in going with a brand new league, a brand new team, and a brand new league?
Well, I just kind of sat down and figured out, you know, there's enough players around the country, and the American Football League was okay, and those owners, why they could go. They could go 10 years and not make a dime and still be in the league. So I wanted to play for Sammy Baugh, because I knew he was going to throw the ball a lot. And then the great Bones Taylor had played at Washington Redskins. He was going to be the receiver coach. And so I said, I want to go there.
Okay. Well, it's funny you mentioned so many of the owners being able to afford 10 years of losses, because your owner certainly wasn't in that situation, Harry Wismer. You know, a lot of stories have been told about your paychecks bouncing with the Titans and things like that. What were your first impressions of the Titans when you got there? What were your first impressions of the New York Titans when you arrived with the team?
Well, we trained up, Wismer had a connection up in the Northeast. Golly, I've even forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
University where we trained up for New Hampshire or out there. Somewhere close, but we got in there, and there's a lot of guys from the state of Texas, and naturally Sammy Baugh brought his quarterback, and he brought a fullback and a halfback and a couple of linemen, you know, and so they already knew the plays, the situation, so that was going to work out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, when people think about you and the Jets, they think about you and George Sauer most often and what a great receiving tandem you guys were. But you had another guy prior to Sauer by the name of Art Powell, who was pretty outstanding as well. What are your memories of Art Powell?
Well, he was a good receiver. I think he got released by some Oakland or somebody. I'm not sure, but anyway, he was going to be, you know, played the other receiver and that made a pretty balanced passing attack.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk about the transition that happened when the team went from being the Titans to the Jets. Uh, Obviously, there was a big influx of money with Sonny Werblin, but how did things change as far as players were concerned?
Well, everything was always first class. We moved from a kind of a polo grounds situation in New York over to Shea Stadium, and we got in on the they still had the baseball season going, but we come in, we'd work out on the days that they didn't have games, and then we started Mr. Werblin, he got things going that worked out real good, and everything was just first class.
Mm-hmm. What were your impressions of him? Was he a good owner to play for? Or was he a hard guy to play for?
Yeah, he was a first class owner, and I'd say this: he was as good a owner as there was that will ever be in pro football. He was class, but he was down to earth with all the guys and. That worked out immediately real great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, of course, one of the huge points in the AFL was the signing of Joe Namath, and he had a huge effect on the AFL and pro football in general. What were the feelings about Namath, you know, prior to him coming in, once he signed that big contract and all the publicity he was getting, you know, what were the players' thoughts about that?
Well, guys had seen Joe play in the bowl game ahead of time, and they knew he had great. Even right up close to it, I played with about 10 quarterbacks, and I was sure glad to see Joe come along, and communication was real easy to go with Joe, and as you watched him in that bowl game, golly, you knew this guy could drop back there. He dropped back a little bit deeper, 8 and 10 yards on most of his pass routes, and then he had the great arm and the accuracy of it. And he made us a contender real quick.
Mm-hmm. How quickly did your relationship develop with Joe? You know, I got, you know, by the end, obviously, you guys probably knew each other better than anybody did, and knew each other's timing and where you were going to be and how he was going to throw the ball. But
I didn't follow the question.
How quickly did your relationship with Joe build in terms of on the field? How quickly until you were comfortable playing with him?
Well, as he was came into camp and so forth, and actually I knew his ability ahead of time, and then I kidded him there. I said, "Hey, we're going to talk on every pass route ahead of time, and then we'll make a success out of it." I said, "I'll make you a better quarterback. You're going to make me a great receiver." But it worked out great like that. And probably over about 10 years, I think we only had about one busted play. And between us and the way it turned out, well, I changed the route I was going. He cocked his arm and took it, wound up and got a touchdown on it. He said, "I barely read that one, but at least we got a big gain or a touchdown." So everything went real smooth between Joe and all the receivers.
Okay. Talk about your thoughts going into Super Bowl III. What did you think would be the key to the Jets' success, and what did you think would be the key to your personal success?
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite understand your question.
That's okay. When you were going into Super Bowl III, what did you feel was going to be the key to the Jets' success, and what about your personal success? What were you looking for there?
Well, Well, going into the Super Bowl, people that kept up with the Colts and their record and their players and so forth and all, but we had the number one defense in the AFL, and we weren't scared of anybody. We respected other teams, but we weren't scared of anybody, and we had the number one defense. And so we were just going to go out there and play, and as we did, we went through the ball game pretty good, and we got ahead, and then in the fourth quarter, Namath, he never even called a pass play. We didn't have to. We just ran the ball down the throat with Boozer and Snell.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I once asked Lance Allworth about his proudest moment in the AFL, and he said that it was when you guys won Super Bowl III because it meant so much to the entire league. I thought that was a pretty interesting statement considering all of the success that Lance had had. Can you talk about what you think it meant to the entire league for the Jets to win that Super Bowl?
Here you got an inferior league. We only say been in existence about 10 years, see, and the other one, they've been playing since Jim Thorpe was in the game, you know. Uh-huh. Say. But we just went out there, and like I say, we knew what type of defense we had, and we knew we could score any time we needed to with Sauer and Lammons and myself and our backup, Babe Turner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me, who were the players in the AFL that you most admired?
That I what?
That you most admired.
Least admired?
Most admired. Who were the players in the AFL that you most admired?
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. Yeah, they were, every time when we, with the AFL, the way our teams were set up, everybody played everybody on the home and home basis. Like we play Boston in Boston, we play and then we play them in a home game. Then we play San Diego in San Diego, and then we play at home. So you played against everybody home and home.
Mm-hmm.
And was real balanced for all the guys to felt the same way, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. What, looking back, what's your favorite AFL memory?
What?
What is your favorite AFL memory?
Catching a pass in New York when we needed to win to get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The playoff game.
Okay. And last question I've got for you is, you know, there are a lot of former AFL players who I think are deserving of being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but they've been overlooked over the years. Do you think that the AFL gets enough credit?
Probably because the players that come along and some of the news media, they get on the bandwagon of some situation and they just fight it out. And there's some things where I've even read or see some of the articles of some guy, and he's supposed to be extra good, and he's not one of the guys that some of the guys feared most. You know, like one of the main guys I think is ought to be in the Hall of Fame in the morning. That'd be Jerry Feldman, our defensive end. Mm-hmm. Man alive, he was unbelievable, and nobody ever blocked him, and he got through, and I don't think he ever missed a play. I don't even think he missed a ball game, but I don't even think he ever missed a play on defense. He was defensive end.
Yeah, he's one. There's certainly guys like Johnny Robinson or Dave Grayson that that deserve some consideration, I would think.
Same situation.
Okay. Well, that I'll tell you what, that wraps up my questions. You know, I